AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With a week to go until the election, 86% of registered voters say they are prepared to accept the outcome of the election next week as legitimate, regardless of who they support. One of Donald Trump's most trusted allies, Steve Bannon, is out of prison. He was released this morning, having served more than 4 months for refusing to testify before Congress about January 6th.
Bannon surrendered July 1st at the low-security federal prison in Danbury, Connecticut. He was defiant, said he was proud to go to prison, accused President Biden, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and the Justice Department of tyranny. Bannon is expected to make remarks Tuesday afternoon in New York. ABC's Jonathan Carl, who's extensively covered Donald Trump, says there's no other advisor more influential.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Vice President Harris will present her campaign's closing argument from the Ellipse near the White House today. It's the same site where Trump encouraged his supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6th. Dodgers ahead of the Yankees 3-0 in the World Series. This is ABC News. The family of a Texas death row inmate whose life was spared by the state's highest court at odds with itself. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas.
Robert Robertson was convicted and sentenced to die for the killing of his own 2-year-old daughter, Nikki, in 2002, a crime he denies committing. Nikki's brother, aunt, and grandfather have admonished the committee that convinced the Texas Supreme Court to block Robertson's execution. They insist he's guilty. Thomas Robertson has issued an open letter of his own, insisting that his brother could not have hurt his daughter. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Robertson was convicted of shaking his daughter to death, but that kind of diagnosis has since been widely discredited by experts. Police in Montana are asking for the public's help in finding an axe. It went missing from a campsite where a man was found dead earlier this month. A friend of the victim blamed a bear attack, but investigators say he also had wounds that could have caused been axed. Two guns and a cooler are also missing. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday, is our ability to kind of regroup and reload, because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 35. Tonight, our temperature dropping into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, showers, thunder showers with falling temperatures will be in the upper 50s to low 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigvi Olsen and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion non-obtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. This time we're brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Love them.
Pella testimonial. I
didn't see testimonial. I had my glasses on. All right, Pella testimonial. That is where I can share with our listeners how much I love Pella. I'm a customer of theirs. We did all our windows and doors. It took years to do it because there's the cost and a budget, but they were very good about coming out to the house and saying, look, your house is 100 years old. This is the kind of style we offer. And they had different styles to offer, different panes you can put in the windows, the grids and all that to make
fine windows to match a 120-year-old house.
Yep. And they were great. And then the door, which is really, that's kind of your welcome mat today is your front
Absolutely.
Door. So we did something and got three locks on because I live in the hood. But yeah, it was the chief is laughing.
Hello, Chief Schaefer. How are you? Battalion chief.
The Pella test. I want to just say one more thing, Johnny, is that today, unlike when I did this, a few years ago, their financing is much better.
Oh man, it's zero
it's
interest.
Like for
3 months.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a cool deal. So anyway, yeah, Pella, and a great company too. They support a lot of our activities here in Green Bay, and I'll bet you they even support the Howard Fire Department.
Well.
All right, the chief's in the house.
Hello, Welcome. Chief. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are you?
We're good. We're good.
I told Chief my scarring situation from when I was young, the trauma, and he thought I should have won the contest.
Oh, yeah.
Told him that at the Bayport football game the other night, where every year I did that great poster and even glued my mom's pack of Salems on there. And
you still do
that,
Chief?
Got robbed.
I got robbed.
You guys still have kids get engaged in fire prevention, right?
Yeah, we usually do an open house in October, during Fire Prevention Week. We'll do it on a Saturday. We'll get everybody into the station. We'll do different events and everything else. So next year, maybe you guys will have me on and we can
absolutely
talk about that when that hits.
We'll announce the winner on our show. How's that? The kid will like
do that
it.
Too.
Or we could bring the kid in.
I think we should do our own poster contest.
We could.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you be the judge.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, let's get the chief.
Are you hoping that maybe you do your poster one more time and,
just this,
and John, win that bad boy? Or what?
He's going to have his name scratched out. Have the kid send this one in. Redeem me. Get this thing off my list.
Put it under grandkid's name.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Things are going on out in Howard. That's where you reside, and that's where your fire department is. Tell me about the additions you've put on.
Well, this first of the year, we started our ambulance service with the fire department. So now we're True Fire Rescue. That has been...
That's big.
That's big. Oh, yeah, very that's big. I don't have the exact numbers, but we've been the first one in a while to start our own ambulance service. So it was a lot of work on the backside that had to get done.
What kind of training did guys have to go through? How did that work?
Both paramedic and fire?
Yeah.
Good for
paramedic
you.
And fire, both. I don't have to be. I'm just a lone EMT. But we have three medics per shift. We run a 48-96 shift, 2 days on, 4 days off. Sometimes we get to sleep through the night, and then sometimes we don't.
Yeah. Wow.
The good thing about Howard, well, you've got quite a mix of housing out there when it comes to the fires, but I think rescue would be more slips, falls, heart attacks.
Yeah, slips, falls, heart attacks. Basically everything under the sun for anybody need medical attention.
Was it you that told us, somebody in here, the number one call is falls for fire departments?
Yeah.
Remember we talked about that?
Yeah, the number one call. Number one call.
That's incredible. Yeah. And some of them can be very serious, huh?
Yeah, sometimes they say, oh, it just fell, but, you know, they hit their head, or, you know, there could be a whole process. You know, they could have fallen and broke their arm, or, you know, we have a lot of nursing homes in Howard, just like everywhere, every other community here in the area.
And when the patient, then you ask them where they want to go, or do you have a deal with someone else?
No, they request.
Right.
So unless it's they are unconscious and they can't talk, then we'll usually do closest available, or if it's a trauma, you know, we have to take them to the trauma centers, either St. Vincent's or Aurora here.
Right. You guys had quite the fire out there a couple of weeks ago, too, huh?
Yeah, beginning in October.
Wow. Yeah. What was that all about?
I hate to say routine because that sounds awful, but, you know, you just, after a while, you get apartment buildings and you just get somebody that, you know, did something that they shouldn't have done, and next thing you know, you... So it started on the outside of the building and got into the attic.
Okay. Well,
and that's, once it gets in the attic, it's really hard to
knock it down, huh? Mm-hmm.
This Fire Prevention Week that we're celebrating, and actually Fire Prevention Month here in October, a lot of time in the schools. And my question is going to be, how are you doing on recruiting? Kids, you know, every little kid, when I was a kid, wanted to be a fireman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no,
everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Is that still the deal?
It's still the deal.
Good.
You know, the other thing I would say, too, is our fire marshal Moles does a really good job. We're in every school, elementary school, doing Fire Prevention Week. You know, and the staff does really well with that as well, getting in there and getting into the schools. It's just like anything else. Everybody wants to be one, but then when they see the work that's got to be involved, or, you know, sometimes people just try it and they go, hey, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, same with being a police officer or, you know, many other things.
Right. How high of a ladder do you have to climb in training?
If it's over 3 feet, John's out.
Not a big ladder guy.
Not a big ladder guy?
Nah, not a big ladder guy.
So 100-foot bucket?
Oh, no, 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 no. Like I said, I would like to come work for you guys, and I'll start up a special branch of ranch homes only.
Ranch homes only?
Ranch homes only.
Oh, they got to climb a 24-footer?
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, we
think
can.
Think about it. We'd be specialized in that.
Maybe when you win the poster.
Right. I think stick with the poster, John. Stick with the poster.
You know that could be your award, you know?
You know what? You know, one thing that the only saving grace of that, I wasn't like devastated. You know what they'd always give? They'd give a, what's it called? When they give you, you think you're getting a check, but it's like you redeem it like 7 years for like $10.
A bond.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever cashed a bond that they've gotten from somebody?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got like a $50 savings bond, but it wasn't good for
you. Yeah, but it won't be good when you were a kid.
Right.
Exactly. You
know. Parents, grandparents would give those. I wonder where those are now.
That's what I mean. No idea.
Probably cashed out by our parents.
Yeah. Hey, what this fire prevention week, do you have contests for kids like Johnny's been whining about?
Well, I don't know about whining.
No,
but...
thank you, Chief. Thank you.
I got to come to John Tate. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Wow. But do the kids still do the, you talk about every kid still wants to be a fireman, wear the hat.
Yeah, sometimes they'll do coloring contests. We'll do, you know, posters.
Cool.
Things like that. You know, some schools will actually do where you get a ride in the fire truck, you know, the morning of.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, my big, okay, wow. Okay. When I was a firefighter.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, John is...
When I filled in for my brother, who was a volunteer firefighter.
Okay.
I never got there on time. The truck was always, like, leaving, okay? And I even asked, can I just ride along? I just wanted to ride along one time. Because that was old school, where the guys would stand out...
Stand on the tailboard.
And hang on to a pipe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I always thought that'd be the coolest thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. Except for when you bounce one of the guys off, you know, hitting a railroad track, and you bounce them off the back of the truck. And then
there's going to be casualties. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but how many casualties? You still got to get to the fire and put it out.
I think it's a workable number.
Chief, are you surprised that with firefighting, how it's really gone from putting out fires to educating people on how to prevent fires? I mean, the whole swing on. I'm sure you talk to people about how to prevent falls. The fire department's really become more of a proactive education department.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being reactive, we're proactive.
So you get, I just want to know, do you get seminars or how do you connect with people like that are 65 years old sitting in their house?
Some departments actually have like a paramedic outreach where they have a couple of paramedics that actually go out during the day and actually will take some of these fall calls for the crews. I know the city of Green Bay has started that process.
Right.
We've discussed it in Howard. And actually getting and being proactive, you know, going through somebody's house that has a continuous fall. That's we call, I hate to say this because it's going to sound really awful, but a repeat customer.
You know what I read?
Right.
You should never, it said little tips, little safety tips. Never walk downstairs with your hands in your pockets.
And I thought,
that makes sense.
We call that common sense.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow, what a great
thing. Kidding me? When I walked down the stairs, I got both hands on the wall.
John had to change his routine. Really, John, nobody does that. Who walks down the stairs with their hands in their pocket?
I think I do. I started thinking about it. I think I do.
Okay, we need evidence of this.
I'm just saying.
It's hard to defend you down on this one.
I'm just saying, Chief. So, Chief, what kind of guy would you, or not, I even shouldn't say that. There are so many women now in law enforcement and paramedics and firefighting. Yep. And it's incredible the strides they've made. But what like when you interview people, or because like I was reading about my dream job up there on Isle Royale. I want to go be a park ranger on Isle Royale. But they're shutting it down after 750 applications. Okay.
Holy cow.
Do you guys get... Is that amazing?
That is
a lot of applicants.
Yeah. No kidding.
How do you weed out? Take the first round.
I mean. How do you weed out people? What do you, like, when you get a whole stack of... Because you get a lot of applications these days, right?
Not as much as we used to.
Right. Oh, okay.
Not true to that.
Yeah, it's...
Okay,
when I first started in 03 for a Milwaukee job or a Chicago job or a big city job, there'd be, for two people that were applying, it'd be... I don't know, 5,000 people applying for two spots.
Come on.
No. And now we're actually, it's dwindled down. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what happened.
5,000.
Well, no, 500 to 1,000.
Oh, 500 to 1,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to break it down for you.
To two.
No. I'm going to break it down what happened. I don't know what movie it was, but some movie came out with the actors or these hot firefighter type things. And then all of a sudden, all a guy in a bar had to do was tell a woman, "Oh, I'm a firefighter." Oh, hello. And that was like the hot thing for a while.
That's Hollywood.
I'm good. I'm saying. I think that's why a lot of guys. That's okay. You want to know?
I don't think it was people.
You want to know what was the biggest?
Demographics.
Want to know? Okay. No. Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to know what was the biggest increase for the United States Air Force in history?
Top Gun.
Yes. True story.
It was crazy. That.
There are a lot of TV shows out there right now about fire departments.
Yeah, they're Navy.
They were Navy.
There are a lot of TV shows out there right now about fire departments, though, like Chicago Fire.
Right.
Yeah, there are. Well, what's that other one? Fire about fighting the bushfires, like out west. Something where they took the prisoners and they, you know, where they could earn time off fighting fires type thing.
Yeah.
They
do that. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
Except for it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You need a little bit more training, though, right? I don't know. I think you guys got a that's a high-tech job.
Let me tell you something. For all the ladies out there, you know me now, okay? But if you didn't know me, and I look the same, still slight weight problem, not overly height, whatever, okay, all these things. Okay.
Disproportionate.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough. We don't have to go over Todd. I paint the picture.
IQ.
Okay?
Okay.
And if I was talking to you in a bar, and I said, you didn't know me, I said, I don't like to talk about it, but I'm a firefighter. I guarantee you they'd look at me differently. Guaranteed. Ladies, quick pull. Chief, stay with us. Back at us.
I'm taking you home. I say I wanna stay.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Jane Benson trusts women to decide when, if, and how to have children. Healthcare professionals must be able to care for pregnant women without fear of prosecution. Vote Benson for State Assembly District 4.
I'm Jane Benson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Jane Benson.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars. Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You gotta hold on to your right from the start. A grip so tight I couldn't tear it.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mirror. Here we've got Nicole Stockman coming up for the Veteran Service Coordinator, UW Green Bay. John Syndergaard. Syndergaard from CP. Great, great things they're doing over there. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. Honestly, this is still one of the biggest topics going on is interest rates. Where are they going to go? How's the housing situation? We've been saying, well, let's wait till the election and see what happens. We've been saying that for months, and it's here. But we've got the chief from Howard Fire Department. Got a text here for you, chief. Can the chief give some quick safety tips with the holidays right around the corner?
Okay. That's kind of a vague text, but that's fine. I get it. So we're looking, obviously Halloween is, 2 days away now?
Yep.
So, the kiddos are going to be out trick-or-treating. Obviously, take your time when you're going through neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Especially the non-well-lit ones,
I think it should end by the time it gets dark. I just do. You?
Yeah, there's moments where every Halloween we do a trick-or-treat safety patrol. We'll put the trucks out. And we'll have candy with the trucks.
Oh, that's cool.
Just kind of, be out in the neighborhood. And I tell you what, when it gets dark out, there's moments where it's just like, oh, you're just waiting for one of the little kiddos to run out between the cars.
I agree. I hate that.
Hey, there's a light on yet. I could still get another candy bar.
I know. When it gets dark, we turn our light off just because we.
Yeah.
Okay, it's dark. Go home. Thing.
Yep.
You don't. You take the last one. But you know what?
We always trick or treat.
I swear to God. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, what's up?
He will take it to the very last one. You know what? Because in the back of his mind, he's thinking, his parents might vote. His parents could vote for me. There's a possible whatever here. Well, true? You'll never get rid of that.
That's not why.
Oh, don't even.
Chief, why are you laughing? I mean, come on.
Go ahead. I'm just over here in the corner. Yeah. That's all I am.
We trick-or-treat at night all the time. Just got to be careful. And I don't know. All right. So, Chief, the other thing, but the big fires. I mean, here we're getting into the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We do a lot of entertaining. A lot of people do. A lot of fires start in the kitchen.
Yes, they do.
Like most of them. And I just speak. Yeah. And I think it costs a little bit more, but candles, I love candles, on the table.
Fine linens.
I do. Absolutely. I do. I like that. But you those candles that
perfect look, place. Everything
but,
has
but
its
candle,
place.
But candles. I let the chief talk. Chief, but candles are
I'm a problem. I'm trying.
Hey, I'm over here enjoying it.
Okay. Chief, but the candles are a problem.
They can be. Especially on those fine linens.
I was at a party one time, and we were like in the living room type thing, and they had candles on in the kitchen type thing. And all of a sudden, you just kind of.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, that candle had just melted. It didn't fall over. It had just melted down and set that on fire. Those flames shot up so black and so fast.
Yep.
It was
Yeah, that's
mind-boggling.
Yeah.
We grabbed towels, and try to smother the thing.
Try to smother it.
If that hadn't been noticed, if somebody was like outside or in the basement or something,
yeah,
that house could have been gone.
You know, the battery-operated candles now, the flameless ones, those, I know they don't, you know, they're not true, but...
They're pretty close.
Yeah,
they're pretty close, and they're safer.
The one that just had the stationary light, those are a little lame, but they have
the
them
ones
now
that move like,
oh, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're going to do a real candle, just make sure that there's something underneath to catch the wax and where it's not going to catch on fire.
In our day,
type of decorative plate or something.
We always used to hear the stories. The police chiefs used to do this same exact thing. And one of the things they were always concerned with was people would have pumpkins with their candles on their porches. Yeah. And that sometimes these kids with these, big costume type things could get on
fire.
True. Did that ever happen? Or is that just one of those things to scare you?
It probably was both.
Okay.
Just to scare
But it scared us. We stayed away from those things.
How many times did our parents tell us stuff in the day that you just know now as adults? God, they were full of crap.
But they did it for us, right?
But it worked.
They did it to keep us.
It totally worked. It totally worked. Yeah.
Chief,
by the way, Brian wants to know a very important question. What was your favorite episode of Emergency?
Oh, no, that's probably the best firefighter show that
I wanted to be Johnny Gage.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to be Johnny Gage, and you know what I wanted to do? Because it seemed like every week they do this. I wanted to be, and you know what? This is something you probably could have been good at. I wanted to be the guy rappelling down the cliff when there's a car just hanging.
Just hanging there.
Just hanging there.
That would be cool.
You know, the ironic part is, as you get older shows and you just look at them and you're like, God, that is so not right. And that show is more true to what we do than the shows that we do now.
No kidding.
That's funny you say that. And I think you're right in that.
More authentic?
There are other shows like that too. I mean, there's some hospital things that are just a joke, and there's other ones that's like, that's pretty real what happens there. And I think back to, I spent a little time in politics, and there's some shows that are, that's really what happens.
Todd, put that one on today's t-shirt. Put the highlights there. When I dressed as a woman.
And I was in politics for a short period of time.
Exactly.
Memorable
quotes.
I would say that watching, the fire scenes in those shows in the Emergency, when they actually had a working structure fire, and they would always do a fog nozzle, which back then that's what it was. You did the pattern, but I think they did that just to keep the fire going a little bit longer so they could film the scene. But just watching them walk in, a plastic helmet almost looks like their knee-length coat and their boots, and that was it. Now we're... We're so farther ahead, in technology wise, to where it's almost too good.
Yeah. Chief, let's just talk a little bit. I want to just talk about if you want to become a paramedic firefighter, work for the Village of Howard or the City of Green Bay, the City of Chicago. What would you advise some high school kid right now?
First of all, here's the thing. So Milwaukee and Chicago, they do their own academy. So if you wanted to hire for Green Bay, for Howard, you would have to go through, some type of technical college. You'd have to get your 2-year associate's.
TC.
I can talk. Your 2-year associate's degree with fire, and then also get your paramedic in there. You would have to do 6 months of EMT and then do a year of paramedic school.
I would be the worst EMT in America. Can I be honest?
You didn't have to tell me that. But Chief, what you're saying, you could really be qualified in 3 years once you get out of high school.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
my
pretty
old son's
young.
Doing that currently.
Sorry. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
That's young.
Yeah, I give you guys all the credit in the world. I mean, you guys go out there, and we had Chopper here the other day, and he mentioned it's over 100 fatals he's worked at and all these things. For you guys to go out in the middle of the night and do all the respect in the world.
Yeah. Thank you.
You do a great job. And so fire prevention, we just... you got websites. I mean, I think there are some things we can do to prevent the fires. And what would the number one thing? Cooking in the kitchen?
Cooking in the kitchen. Yeah.
And I just want to say for guys, if you're still on the fence, what that woman told me when I said, what's the big thing about firefighters? They run into danger. You would run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not wrong.
You don't know that.
Not wrong.
Howard Fire Department Battalion Chief Mr. Schaefer, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure having you. Thanks for what you do for the community. We'll be back with Nicole Stockman. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The clock is ticking, the election just days away, and the markets are paying attention to it. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Some markets reacting more than others when it comes to the potential for the election. Details on that next. Spain and Portugal, that's where we're headed next. Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee inviting you to join us April 5th through the 17th for our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour. We'll start in Portugal, where we'll visit a stud farm and witness the process of creating cork. Then on to Spain, where we'll visit an Iberian pig farm and an olive grove. Find out more at holidayvacations.com, keyword PAM, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1020 for our brochure. Greg McBride is a broker with Allendale Trade Service. He says right now the fact is that they're seeing a little early activity in the grain market because of next week's election. On the flip side, he said livestock, that's sitting still right now. But he said depending on consumers' reaction to the election, that could change too.
Yeah, we have. We started out the year with very good pork demand, and that's kind of waned off a little bit there for a while. It's come back a little bit, but the last couple of weeks haven't been so good. Beef demand just kind of plods along pretty well, but overall, domestic usage has been very good for bulls to go here. Now, that could change. Obviously, you could see something happen after this election. That's the big wild card over the next week and the next couple of months as we prepare for a brand new president, regardless of which side wins.
That's Greg McBride, a commodity broker with Allendale. He says theoretically the current election cycle should all be over next week, but he said in reality, when it comes to international trade, we could see the markets ripple after Tuesday's results for weeks. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, I'm happy to report, are a little stronger. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, barrel and block cheese were both unchanged, while AA butter dropped to $2.67.5 per pound this morning. December corn is up to at $4.13. November beans up a nickel at $9.79. December wheat's unchanged at $5.59, and so is the March contract. Currently, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 9, 20, 22, 100 weight. There's your quick snapshot on where the numbers stand on a Tuesday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 35. Tonight, our temperature dropping into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, showers, thunder showers with falling temperatures will be in the upper 50s to low 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app. Nice out there, 65 in Oshkosh already, 59 in Appleton, 57 in Green Bay. Beautiful weather.
This, we might hit 80 today.
That's unbelievable.
It is. This, it's unbelievable. This is going to be an awesome day. And tomorrow. But
Nicole and I are going golfing.
Oh, cool. Ooh, that right. Sounds great.
You didn't know that, did you?
I know it now.
I didn't know, just from following, and this is Nicole Stockman. She is the coordinator for Veteran Services at UW Green Bay. They got some great things coming up. You've spent over 20 years in the military life. Being married to the military, basically, should be the name of your book.
But we'll have to write one.
Okay. But I didn't know until seeing your Facebook, you're like a great golfer.
I'm not so bad. Right.
Did you play in college?
No. Oh. You know what? This is just something I picked up about 4 years ago.
Oh.
And my son actually. Because
you're talking about breaking
40
and everything? It's like, what?
Yes, yes. So my low now is 43. So yes. Yeah, I started
my low
about 4 years ago.
My low was 53. Wow, that's fantastic.
So do you know how I got into it?
No.
My son watched Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
And he saw him piling all those big checks into the back of the car.
Yeah.
And he said, Mom, can you really make all that money playing golf? And I said, sure, if you're good enough. And he wanted to take lessons. And we took lessons, and I ended up loving it, and it kind of faded on him after about a year. But
well, okay, now, Todd, give me a little kudos here.
What do you need?
No, because what I was telling the chief about those shows where people would, with Tom Cruise with Top Gun and everything like that.
Yeah.
Here's a perfect case where a media thing, a movie or a TV show inspired somebody to do something like that.
Right. Absolutely. And it was just funny. It was more of the financial, a reward behind it. It was his motivation. But, you know, then I fell in love with it. We took lessons and I started and just fell in love with
that
it. It's a great game.
Damn game. I know some of the greatest athletes in America. And I'm not even going to include myself there. But I'm just saying some really great athletes just can't get the hang of that. Yeah. And then you get somebody else. And I'm not saying this about you, but literally can't do, And they can pick up a golf club and it just comes natural to them. That is the most frustrating game ever invented.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But it's a great game. You can play it the rest of your life, which is cool, unlike some other sports and things. And you and your son, he'll pick it up again, but that'd be fun when you go visit him, just go golf 18 holes.
Todd, I forgot to tell you about this. A guy you have to get on.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing this winter. Okay. That new pickleball place. Have you heard about
it? Yes. I've heard about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I'm excited.
Mark Tauscher is one of the owners.
Yeah.
We got it. It's year-round pickleball, great courts, the whole thing. And they say so many older people now who haven't been doing anything are getting into that sport.
Yeah, remember Mark Hewson, Bellin's.
Well, some of them are getting hurt.
Yeah. You got to stretch a little. Yeah, you're right, though. That's great.
I mean, there's no excuses. That the thing is designed just for pickleball.
Yeah.
It's a whole facility dedicated to it. Right. It looks awesome.
By the way, we got a texter. Yesterday being first responder day, I'd like to shout out to my mom. 42 years as an EMT with Kiwani Rescue.
Wow.
Very cool,
that's
man.
Awesome.
Could you do that? Could you go up to like a car accident or something and take care of the people?
I've done ride-alongs with police and fire and have done that. I couldn't do it if it was a kid. But that didn't happen with me. We went through a car accident. It was, winter, and there was a guy that was, it was kind of freaked me out. He's like, am I going to die? I'm like, I don't know, ask him.
Well,
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything, but I just stood next to him. That's what he was asking. And the guy was like the chief, just very cool about it. No, everything's going to be fine. Those guys are so composed in like a bad situation. And
I would rather if I was in something in a car pull up, I'd rather have Todd be the first person there than you. Todd seems like he'd be cool, calm.
Well, I was
get everything taken care of. How about you? Could you do that?
Well,
could
you know what? Yes, I do, but I think it would be more of a fight or flight response. I would just dive in and help.
Okay.
Not thinking. It would just be more reactive.
That's good.
All right. When you're married to the military, so to speak. Again, tell you, was it 21 years?
Yes.
And how many stops did you make, or how many moves did you make?
Oh, I think at least 10.
Okay. Yes. All over the world.
All over the world. Yes, yes.
You know, we talk about so often here, and we're going to talk about the veteran service things we got coming up at Green Bay, but you know, so many, I know these younger women that marry these guys.
Yeah.
And proud of them serving their country and the whole thing, but sometimes they're just not prepared for if the guy's going to stay in longer, what that's going to entail. I mean, you want to talk about you no longer control your life. I mean, even as mayor, you could have said, I'm going to quit because I don't like this. Right. Or I'm going to do whatever. Boy, you talk about when you're in, you got to be all in. And the whole family does, don't they?
Yes, yes. And you are basically following another person's profession.
Right.
And you have to be there for that support for them to be successful.
But what would bother me is that you can move. You know, and I wouldn't want to move. You know, I mean, you talk about different jobs even, but I mean, right? Didn't they, were you ever surprised by a move?
You know, you learn to expect it. So it depends on what your station is, what the objective is. You know, if you're going to a year-long school, you know it's going to be a year. And then you, if you're attached to a ship or, you know, a destroyer, a aircraft carrier, whatever, it could be 3 years. So you know what to anticipate, but you also know that those orders could go longer or they could get cut short. So it's always on the horizon and you just have to be prepared for that.
But you don't know where.
They do give you, there's a selection process in a lot of cases, so you can give your, you say top three choices. And then.
But that never works.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know,
I know.
So and like, we were very blessed. And you
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't one of my top three. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Hawaii's in the toilet.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Italy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool that you, it's the word I'm looking for, that you gave yourself to that. Like, no matter what happens, I'm in.
And the cool part, though, is you now having experienced that for 20 years.
Yes.
Even though you didn't, you know, raise the right hand, you were, again, married to the military type. When a younger person comes to you, you can take it, okay, here's year one, here's whatever. I think that's really awesome for the viewpoint you've seen and now to be in your position.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I was very involved, and that makes a huge difference, too. Right. And you have to kind of take the, you know, all of the awesomeness that comes along with the military with, you know, the things that aren't so great, you know, like the deployments and the isolation. And, you know, you're really on your own as a spouse to really maintain that household, whether you have dogs, kids, you're maintaining the house. And then if you have to move and your spouse is deployed, you're moving an entire house, all of your family. You know, everything possibly, we did it three times overseas, you know, three overseas moves, and it's not a small task. So you really have to, you know, be on the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. My book is missing.
And that.
But I just want to say, I dedicate it to the women and the spouses left behind when people would deploy. I shouldn't say just guys, because so many women deploy too. But I just think that's a really, how do I put it? There needs to be more sunlight put on the people that stay behind.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of stress behind it because spouse is deployed to a combat zone in a lot of cases. You don't know what's happening. There's no communication there. You know, it's just, you have to, you know, just focus on what you're doing and your home and trust that, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen.
Well, I will say one good thing, though, over the years from compared to like when my brothers were in or whatever, and you get, you know, maybe two letters a month, be a couple of weeks before you, and at least communication now with the cell phones and sat phones and internet and everything, at least you can, you know, like I knew people in Vietnam and they'd get wounded and they'd get it, the parents or whomever would get a telegram. Then they wouldn't hear anything else for another 3 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And they're just, what's going on?
Right. So the sat phones have helped a lot, back when I was a spouse. So, yeah, that was huge for us to get that phone call and just know everything's okay. Yep. Hear his voice.
Waiting for a letter in the mailbox.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, and a lot of times you don't, when you get a letter, I think they're trying to make you feel like everything's okay, possibly when it's not. So, you know, to hear their voice and hear the sound behind it and what they're portraying to you,
although I still think, you know, when I love history, you know, then I research as much as I can. The greatest history ever told when it comes to war is by guys or whomever who are there at the time and they don't know how it's going to end. You know, every historian that writes a book, he knows how it ends. These people didn't know how it was going to end, if they were going to win or they're going to lose. I think those are some of the most insightful things you'll ever find.
Yeah. The people that talk about the spouse, the person at home, you know, man or woman, I mean, that is the responsibility of a household is tremendous. And even with two people, right?
Yes.
And to take that all and then throw a move in on top of it, I mean.
Well, and on top of that, you're either in a different state, a different country. You're not by family. You're not by friends. So you're building a whole nother support system through these resources that you have through the armed forces or other spouses, other families. You really become a tight unit through that because you do not have, you're not in your hometown. You are sometimes in a foreign country. Under different rules and regulations, and it could be a 17-hour flight to get back to your family. So you really develop these tight relationships through the military that you depend on.
Everybody has each other's back.
Right.
One thing that I love reading about, and there's a comedian that does a great routine on this, about he reads letters from the Civil War. My dearest Gertrude, how thy heart pines for thee. I hope you're, you know what I mean? The whole thing? Similar. Then it'd be like a guy from Iraq. Dear Carla, it is hotter than bleep over here. I can't bleep it. I got a bleeping rash you can't believe. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like they were so eloquent back in the early days. Love that.
That's funny.
But anyway, I got a text. So I have a 99-year-old friend who I play golf with, William. Wow.
That's the longevity of golf is awesome. And that's what I love about it. And you know, the fresh air, and if you have a cocktail, I mean, it's just all good.
The injuries, they're not there, right? And concussions, not a whole lot, maybe once in a while. But
and I'll tell you what, when I did play golf, this time of year was the greatest time in the world to be out there. Even like we used to come out to GB and play that little course at times.
Oh, yeah, sure.
With all the colors, you talk about colors, walking that course out there in the fall.
Yeah.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
Summer, there's golf courses where you see deer, you know, it's just
yes
you know, we'd take the last tee time, and sometimes we'd only get six or seven holes because it would get dark, but I didn't want them to get nervous about people,
that pressure behind you,
play
totally
through.
Agree.
Yes,
that's the worst part of golf,
and some people aren't as nice as they could be.
No.
You know what I mean? And when you got a little kid, it's like, come on.
Right.
So I just, you know, any place, I would just say, what's your last tee time? Okay, well, you're not gonna be able to play all nine. It's like, I don't care, we'll play.
Can I tell you something embarrassing though on a golf course that you probably, you know, when you get mad at somebody?
Yeah.
So we're playing, I remember it was Father's Day, and I was playing with some guys and their dads and stuff, and we weren't playing real fast, you know, just whatever, but not terribly slow. And these younger guys behind us hit up, and we were on the green.
Oh.
So I took the ball, and I brought it over to the side of the green, and I was going to hit it right back at him. but I sculled it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's cool.
You know what I mean? You're trying to be cool. And I just dribbled it. It's like,
there you go.
Maybe we are playing too slow.
No, there's just no reason for it. I mean, everybody's out there for the same reason, out there to enjoy yourself.
Yes.
You know, and if you have people in front of you and in back of you, and the people are trying to crawl up on you and you can't even move forward, I mean, it just is, why are you there?
As long as you just do the right etiquette, like, you know, go right to your ball. Do you know, be ready to hit when you're a good hit. You know, there's some little things that anybody can, you know, make sure they're doing right.
Or if it's constant, you know, three hole, you can let them play through too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And we do that sometimes. You know, you can tell people who like to play faster than you.
Right.
We just ask them if they want to go through.
But you know what I like doing if you do that? If they're kind of just, I like standing like fairly close to them as they hit. You know, just put some more pressure. I'm like, okay, you guys are going so fast.
2 feet.
You go 2 feet away. I love doing that. That might happen when I have a cocktail or two.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Okay, you guys stick around. We're going to talk a little bit about the great projects you've got going on and something really great happening at the women's basketball game coming up.
Yes.
With their new coach.
Oh, my
Kayla.
Gosh.
Isn't she great?
Yes, so great.
We got to get her on again. She's come on my radio show a lot. She's awesome.
As is the men's coach.
Yes.
Man.
Oh, we went to the exhibition game.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. Oh, were you there?
Yeah.
I missed you.
I don't think you go anyplace, Nicole, because I was at the big veterans event, and you said you were there. He didn't see you at the G. I don't know. Oh,
I was right in the front, right behind all of the media.
Mm. Okay, I'm in the second row right behind the media.
Yeah.
So I think we got it. I don't know. Yeah. Were you there? I was.
Yeah.
I got my tickets right here.
No, section 112.
Okay,
seats,
Nicole.
Row A.
If you really are the service coordinator,
B.
Gonna send a quick break.
No.
More lies from Nicole coming
There's
up.
There's no way.
Makes me to. It's your thing. Do what you want to do now.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Get your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecues on November 2nd at the Community Rec Center in Marinette, Wisconsin. Six award-winning barbecue pitmasters go head-to-head while your taste buds get punched in the mouth with lip-smacking barbecue. You'll listen to Blues Hall of Fame legend Joe Moss. Following Joe, Blues icon Taranzo Cannon hits the stage playing tunes from his number one album, Shut Up and Play. VIP tickets are only $27.50 and include barbecue samples from all six competitors, a full beverage of your choice, VIP pit passport, and both concerts. General admission tickets are just $17.50. Learn more at fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig. That's fishonmarinette.com. Sponsored by Fincantieri Marinette Marine, the Motor Company, Anderson's Culligan, and Farmers Merchants Bank and Trust. Blues, Brews, Barbecues. Come get some.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
I thought I had the flu because it was in December and it was real close to Christmas. What you want to do? I can't tell you who to sock it to. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here with Nicole Stockman, Veteran Service Coordinator, UW Green Bay. It Veterans Week is coming up. You guys do a great job honoring the veterans out there. November 9th through the 14th, you've got the UW Green Bay Women's Basketball Military Appreciation Game coming up Saturday, November 9th at 1 o'clock at the Crest Center against Northern Iowa.
Yes. So Josh Moon and his team over there at the athletic department are great in supporting our veterans. You know, anytime I want to team up with them, they say, what can we do? So yes, we have this game, and for military members, they show an ID and get a free ticket.
Awesome. Nice. His son is a good football player, by the way.
Oh, I know. I've heard. Great. Yeah, I talked to Andrea a little bit, his spouse. Yeah.
Wow. Then on Monday, November 11th, you've got the POW table, the Prisoner of War table. Is this the whole ceremony, the missing man ceremony? Have you ever seen that, Jim? Yeah. It's quite the thing.
Right. So UWGB ROTC will be performing that ceremony. It'll be at 12:30 in Leona Commons in the University Union. And you know, you've talked to service members who have been prisoners of war.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, it's a very poignant ceremony.
Yep. And then the Chancellor's Reception Wednesday, November 13th, 4 to 6 o'clock at the Widener Center Foyer.
Yes, and my MC is John Mino.
Wait a minute, is that where you got in that fight with Michael Bolton? Kenny G.
Kenny G, yeah.
Is that where you got in a disturbance with him in the foyer?
I swear to God, you both should write books. Yeah, right. People like got into a fight.
I've been to that event too, the one you're going to that you're MCing at. I mean, I've had some great times out there. But yeah, Kenny G was not one of my favorite times out there. Anyway.
Who gets in a fight with Kenny G?
Jim does.
Well, he was interrupting him when he was ringing the bells.
I was ringing the bell for Salvation Army, and he's like,
complaining about it.
And I was like,
you know, put $5,000 in here and I'll stop.
Then you had a free pizza lunch Thursday, November 14th from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Veterans Lounge.
Correct. Fun. Yes, yes, yes. Lots of fun. So it's a great week. And I love this week because it brings a lot of attention to our, you know, it celebrates our program that we have, our students who have served in some capacity, and really highlights, it's a time to highlight them.
I interviewed a guy fairly recently who was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, okay? And when he came back, he was going to go to GB. And somebody said, well, you should go to the Veterans Service Office first. And this was in the early days of GB, you know, whatever. But when he had been in Vietnam, he had to, like, stop at this special forces camp, Green Berets, which was the top dogs, you know, whatever. And he just gets to talk to this guy, this redheaded guy, and he says, where are you from back in the world? He goes, well, kind of Green Bay, actually, Krakow, Wisconsin. He goes, so am I. I'm from Green Bay. And he's like, oh, my God, we're in the middle of this jungle.
Right.
I mean, surrounded by the Viet Cong.
Unbelievable.
And he comes back, and he's standing in the Veterans Services Office. He goes, do I know you? He goes, are you the Green Beret? He goes, yeah. I said, how you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I'd love to rekindle those two, find them. You know. And he told me the guy's name, so I've got it. Maybe he's in the listings there. But to be right in this really bad part of Vietnam and the next time to see each other in the Veterans Lounge at GB.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why we have that. You know, it's a great space for our veterans, our active duty, those that are drilling, spouses, children of veterans. It's a good space for them to be able to go and meet other people they can relate to.
No question about it. You are the coordinator of all these things. And it's not just a one-day event. You've got something going on almost every day, which is great. This whole week-long celebration.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's my favorite time of the year. And I love to be able to celebrate our program and our students. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to do that.
Well, I hope you can come over on the 11th. We will be at the Duck Creek VFW.
Howard.
In Howard.
Okay.
So hope you can stop out there doing our show live up there.
Sure, I sure can.
Great.
I think it's kudos to UWGB, though, for really, really leaning into this veterans. I mean, you do a lot out there. You personally and the chancellors behind it and Josh. And I think it's pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of great schools in Northeast Wisconsin, but I think if I was a veteran, I would really have to take a good look at GB because I think you guys do just a little bit more than everybody else.
Well,
I think
we do. We try to go a little bit above and beyond, you know, in providing resources, especially because that's so important in their academic success. You know, when a veteran comes in or someone that served, they really need different resources than a traditional student sometimes. And when we're able to provide that for them, it creates a lot of success for them, and that's what we want.
Right. And even the environment to study in, you know, and we talked about that at one time, just to make it, sometimes they may have issues that the rest of us don't, you know, in terms of, you know, light or sound or anything, and you guys try to accommodate all
that. Can I just point out a little thingy? That's against Northern Iowa, right?
It is. Okay. It is,
It says Northern Michigan on this one.
Oh.
We'll call her out on the radio, John. That's nice.
No, I'm just, well, but I just want to see if it was. She didn't do it.
No, I didn't. That's my, I'll have to talk
Jim,
to my marketing.
Jim, picking up your habits.
My marketing. Yeah, my marketing department. But yes, it is Northern Iowa. I'm going to contact marketing. Wow. Thank you.
I didn't mean it to everybody. I just wanted you to know. So it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to tell everybody. Did you hear that? Because I just wanted you to know. We're on the air.
If I said Northern Michigan. If I said Northern, that's right, looked at my phone. If I said Northern Michigan, a bunch of people I know are like, oh, I'm going to go out and watch, you know, Northern, and then it's Northern Iowa. Then it would be.
Yeah. Then it's John's fault.
All right.
So that was okay that I did that, wasn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to take you on after.
Boy, where do we go golfing?
So who's it against? So who's it against?
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
Which is a big time school. That's where Bryce Pop is.
It is. It'll be a great time
school.
Great game.
That's a tough game.
Yes, that'll be great. Yes.
Nicole, thanks for all you do for our local veterans. And at UW Green Bay, you just do a tremendous job out there.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on. I love it.
Anytime. Yeah. All right. We're going to set a quick break.
Okay.
John Syndergaard will be back. We come back. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Dom Salvia.
Next time, a GOP connected super PAC backing Jill Stein in Wisconsin. Mr. Ethics Scott Ross joins me to talk about dehumanizing ads, plus overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Crystal clear water may be toxic. We can't tell if we don't test. $125 million of testing money is stuck in Madison, while polluting businesses sway Republican politicians to choose big business profits over the health of our people. Again, vote Jane Benson for State Assembly District 4 because safe water can't wait.
I'm Jane Benson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Jane Benson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.